Jeannie to teach the word.
Please be seated. God bless you. Yeah, we do live in a wonderful, crazy world, but we are not of this world. The last 2 weeks, we've been studying aspects of the renewed mind, the key to power. Vicki shared how important it is to meditate on the word day and night. We're to hold our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. We have to study God's word. We receive the word. Everything that we do takes thought. Why not think God's word? Barney shared on the prosperous mind. We need to hold God's word in our minds. It takes discipline to hold God's word in our minds and to walk out on it. Scripture retained in our minds is strength through our soul. It's the key to daily deliverance from the adversary. Holding God's word in our minds is profitable. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." That's the profit of holding God's word in our minds. It says that thy word is the joy and rejoicing of our heart. It says that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do you want profit in your life? Hold God's word in your heart, in your minds. We retain the word in our memory. We wake up thinking God's word, God's love. Have you been practicing your 3 retemery verses? Good. That's great. Well, we'll get another one today. You found that on your seat there. Isaiah 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Oh, Psalm 119:11. Thank you. You know, we have to hide God's word in our hearts, which is our mind. It's what we think. And I'd like to share another aspect of the renewed mind, which is recognizing who you are in Christ, who you are spiritually. You know, most people, they spend a whole lifetime trying to figure out their identity, who they are, what their purpose in life is. My dad told me one time, "You find out if you did God's will the day you die." Well, I said, when I was 20 years old, I said, "I'm not going to wait that long. I want to know now." And God's word has revealed it to us. So what is God's will in our life, and who are we? The title of my teaching is Christ, Our True Identity. Let's please turn to Romans chapter 12. You know, people are trying to figure out who they are, what gender they are, what everything they are. And yet, spiritually is what's important. Think about try to figure out what you're doing here spiritually. That's what's important. You know, you're not gonna perfect this flesh. You can be muscle building, you can do everything you can go to the finest places to shop to buy clothing, but you're not gonna improve the physical man. It's what's spiritual that's important. Romans 12:1, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Says, I lovingly implore you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God didn't ask us to die. Jesus Christ was one man. He died for all. We are to live for God. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that reasonable service is the word logikos, which is logical. Your logical service for all that God has done for us. It's logical that we live for Him. Right? All right, amen. It's logical that we want to do the Father's will, join the Father's business. Jesus Christ said, "I must be about my Father's business." He knew when he was 12 years old. It still amazes me. And the first time I learned that verse, that at 12 years old, he knew his purpose in life, to be about the Father's business. We still have to remind ourselves that's our purpose in life, to follow the Father's business, to be in partnership with Him. And be not conformed to this world, and this is what the whole emphasis on the teaching is, Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the word transformed is the Greek word metamorphomai, which means to transfigure, to get a new figure. We get the word metamorphosis. You got that caterpillar, and then it gets into the larvae, and then it sleeps for a while, and then it comes out this beautiful butterfly. Well, that caterpillar had no idea. You had no idea that that was going to be a beautiful butterfly, did you? No, it was a transformation. It was a whole new form. What says here, we don't want to be conformed to this world, but we want to be transformed, become a new creature. You know, we're not going to do God's will with our own fleshly body. It's that new creation that God has created in us when we got born again. We need to see in our mind, renew our minds, put that new thought in our minds that we are a new creation. What is that new creation? What is that change in our minds? It's Christ behind every fiber of our being. But it won't do you any good until you put it in your mind. You know, I can tell you it's Christ in you. But until you believe it, you digest it into your own life, you're never going to see it. Because it's just words. But it's God's desire that we be successful in life. It says that he wants us to prosper and be in health. Well, how are we going to prosper unless we fill our hearts and lives with God's word? Proverbs 23:7 says, what a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What do you think? Do you think yourself, you know, well, like last night, my one brother hasn't been very successful. He's had lots of opportunities, and he always thought, well, that rainbow over there is much better, so I'm going to try the harder way instead of the easy road. My mom says, well, if you would have listened to me, you would have been just fine. But, you know, what do you think? What do you believe? Well, let's believe God's word. We don't have to rely on anyone else. God's word has proven the test of time. It hasn't changed any. It's tremendous, and that's what our success is. Look how easy it was to believe God's word, to get born again, to speak in tongues. It didn't take a lot of work, did it? But it took your mind believing, acting out on it. So our true identity is the Christ within each one of us. We've got to see that in our minds. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does that mean? Well, I don't know. We've got to get that word in our minds. We've got to search the scriptures to find out what God says. If he lovingly implores us to live as a holy and acceptable unto him, then he's going to show us how. And in that Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We prove it. That word prove is dokimazo, which means to document. We can document that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in our lives when we walk as Christ in us. Look what Christ did. You know, we all know some tremendous things that he did. Well, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. We can do those wonderful things. If we see it in our mind's eye, that we can do it. If we really, literally see, believe in our heart, God's word. And it's not so hard. When we continue to hold God's word, receive God's word, retain it in our hearts, in our minds, then we're going to see the reality of Christ in us, our true identity. Christ, our true identity. Look in Galatians chapter 2. So we're going to build this in our hearts and minds this day. Or at least start. You know, it is a journey every day. We continue to see more of God's word live and just believe it a little bit bigger. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I am crucified. And in the Greek, it should be, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. No. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ liveth in me. You know, what is your true identity? Christ in you. Christ liveth in me. I was crucified. It's not sometime in the future I will be crucified. Right now, the day I got born again, I identified with him. I died with him. I was crucified with him. I died with him. I was raised with him. We are seated in the heavenlies. That is our identity. We've got to continue to tell ourselves, this is who we are. It doesn't come overnight. Just like everything else we learn, it takes time. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Do you want to prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Just live God's word. Enjoy the new creation that he's created in us. He's made us able. God is able. We are able in this world to represent Jesus Christ, represent God. When someone meets you on the street, think about it. It's Christ in me. I can bless that person. I can touch that person with God's word, with God's love, with integrity. You know, that's the things that the Christ in us represents. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are changed into that same image. That changes that metamorphosis. As you look at God's word, you take on the characteristics of God's word. That glory, you know, Pete's article in the January newsletter about the glory of the Lord. You know, Moses saw the Lord. He was so bright because he reflected what God was, that glory, that they had to put a veil over their face. They couldn't stand to see him. He was so bright. Well, as we behold the glory of the Lord in God's word in each other, we reflect that. We need to tell each other, you are the glory of the Lord. Now that's, God has called us to a family. He could have called us to be individuals and have our own mission in life, but we all have the same common bond, that family of God. We need to tell each other who we are. Because we're reminded, we're confronted every day with the cares of this world. You know, we still live in the world, but we're not of this world. We don't need to partake in the stress of this world, because God Almighty is our Heavenly Father. But we have each other, and we need to remember that. Tell each other, boy, you're the glory of the Lord. You're beautiful. Everybody needs to know they're beautiful. We're beautiful in God's sight, and that's the eyes that we look at each other with, the Christ in us. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 26. It says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is a mystery that was hid from ages and generations that if the princes of this world would have known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. If the devil would have known that it was, when we get born again, it's Christ in each one of us, he would not have crucified Jesus Christ. Because you can maintain Jesus Christ, you can keep him in Jerusalem or somewhere, and locked up or whatever. You know, maybe the word of what he did would go, you know, be spread out. But each one of us represent Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That even it was so important that it was a mystery that was hid, and it is revealed now that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. How important are our lives? But until we renew our minds, Romans 12:2 says, and be be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the renewed mind is the key to power. We have to see that Christ in us. Our new nature is contrary to the old. They are odds at each other. Our old nature says, I can't do that. The new nature says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. The old nature has fear. It is afraid to trust. The new nature casts out fear with love. You know, our old man nature says, you know, I'm struggling in life and I can't make get my needs met. You know, I live in California and it's very expensive. Barney shared last week, you know, the price of homes are horrible and milk is horrible and everything else. But, you know, the new man says, God shall supply all my need. But you know what we do? We think, oh, I got to work so hard because I can't earn God's love and grace. That's the old man again, right? What does the new man say? It's by grace that you're saved. So which are you going to choose? Every day we have to choose what we want to believe. Do we want to believe God's word or do we want to believe what the world tells us? It's pretty amazing. How do we renew our minds to our true identity in Christ? We've got to put on God's word. We've got to retain it in our thoughts and take action on it. We need to see the image of Christ in us, in our minds. I'd like you to close your eyes for a minute. And if you're listening to the CD and you're driving, don't do this. Hold this thought for another time or pull over to the side of the road. But close your eyes and I want you to think to yourself that it's Christ behind every fiber of your being. It's Christ in you. Do you see a little light? You know, the lights from this room that kind of go through your eyelids there, but you are the hope of glory. You are the light of the world. And when we concentrate, when we get rid of all the things that are around us, the distractions, we can tell our mind who we are. In our mind's eye, we need to see that Christ in us. We have the ability to forgive people. Imagine yourself ministering to someone, speaking the word, knowing that it's God working in you. Okay, you can open your eyes. Isn't it nice to leave the distractions? Just think about that when you pray. Close your eyes and just concentrate. We need to discipline our minds to think right what I'm thinking about right now. Because you keep your eyes open and you think, oh, yeah, it's Christ to me. You know, that wallpaper up there has got a spot in it. You know, you see all these different things. Your mind is so easily distracted. I wonder what's for refreshments this afternoon or this after the fellowship. Hope the coffee's hot. You know, we just have all these different thoughts. So we've got to find a place in wherever we are and be able to concentrate on teaching our mind who we are. Because if we can't teach our mind, it's just going to be superficial. Yeah, Christ in me, thanks. I needed to hear that. But do you really believe it? We need to discipline our minds. We need to tell each other who we are, that we represent the absent Christ. God has made a new creation in me, Christ in me. He chose each one of us before the foundation of the world to be his very own, to be his children. Not to be little robots for God. We are individuals. We each have needs, but we come boldly before the throne of grace. It's Christ in us. We have the ability to see this word, to see the reality of what Christ did, because each one of us can do that. We can lead someone to the new birth. We can speak in tongues. We can operate the Spirit of God. But until you see it in your mind's eye, you're never going to believe it. No, we're a son of God with all power. We're a Sagwat. I was reminded of that word, that acronym recently. I think Todd and Shelley had it. Their email was Sagwat. Right? Didn't you have an email? Oh, I saw somebody had it. And I guess in the blessing, you see all the little emails. Somebody had Sagwat, and I thought, no, that's it. I haven't heard that in years. Son of God with all power. That's who each one of us are. Do you believe it? That's what we need to do. Keep telling ourselves that's who we are. You know, our minds are like a closet. From the time we were born, we started walking. We learned, oh, that's what these legs are for. We can hold mommy's hand and we can walk, and then we can start running. We learn what's hot and what's cold, what you can't touch. We learn to obey. We learn to be honest. We learn all these different things, and it's like a garment in the closet. We're filling up this closet with all these different things that we learn. When we get born again, you know, the closet's pretty full. Some of us have had a lot of years filling that closet. Then all of a sudden, we get this new nature. Well, our physical body hasn't changed any. It's in our mind that we've become born again. So we've got to start sorting out the things that are in that closet to see if maybe those are in line with what God's Word says. You know, sometimes we get real comfortable, and I pulled out this old jacket of mine and thought that jacket that was sitting here, someone forgot, Bob mentioned it. You know, and sometimes it's moth-ridden and gets a little dirty, but so comfortable. And I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give it up. And I don't think anyone would like it, but to me, it means a lot to me because I've grown into this. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, I could trust God, but if I just can work a little harder, it'll be easier to trust God with. But so we don't want to get rid of some of that stuff. We just want to hold on to it. Well, the old man nature is contrary to the new nature. We've got to take off the old and put on the new. And let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Anyone wants my jacket, they can have it. But I don't think you want it. Please, you don't want it. We've got it. It's just a silly thing to represent. We don't think about those old man nature things that are still hanging on us. How about every time we pass the Horn of Plenty? Well, I don't really have an extra to give today. You can't afford not to give. You know, God says that He shall supply all of our needs. He says, given it shall be given unto you. You know, more than you could ever give. That's why we use the Horn of Plenty. We have this little horn here, the tip of it. That's what we give, and the open is what God gives back to us. You know, in the book of Acts, the word prospered so much because they sold of their pluralities. They gave. They took care of each other. You know, that's another big thing that the adversary hits us with. Well, you just can't afford to. Well, you just can't afford not to. But we've got to put off and put on. Just try it. I remember my son Tim one summer decided to give 20% of what he made. And I think that was probably the year he met his future wife. So, you know, you just can't outgive God. You can't outgive the great, or can't outbelieve what the Word says. You just got to keep believing it. Colossians chapter 3. Some really practical keys here. Colossians 3:1 says, if or since ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection or your thoughts on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear before him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, passion or lust, evil concupiscence or desires, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walk sometime when ye live in them. But now ye also put off all these things. You know, clean out that closet. Get rid of all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. If someone hurt me, it really bothers me, so I need to tell Sarah, and then Sarah has to tell somebody else because it bothered her that she heard that someone did this. It just is a rippling effect what happens when we don't think the best of people, and it's a harmful thing. We need to stop that. We need to think the best. It's Christ in each one of us. Let's say it. You know, tell each other, Sarah, it's Christ in Louis. Did you know that? Did you remember that? That's wonderful. Louis going to say, you know, my wife said it's Christ in me. And then it's just going to have a rippling effect. Wonderful. Verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Those are the old man. We don't need that stuff. It doesn't profit anyone. It just makes you more miserable. You know, get rid of the comfortable things. We need to quit being comfortable, start being committed to God's word. Because it's profitable. It's worth it. That's what the purpose of our life is. To glorify God, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's God's will. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. These are the things you need to put in your closet, the closet of your mind. But mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. You know, we've got to be humble to receive God's word. You know, we don't know it all. We obviously haven't experienced it all and had great results. We need to document, prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. You know, how many times we ought to have fellowship where we just say, look what God did for me. We need to be reminded of the tremendous deliverance that we've had. The little things that God did that, you know, was perfect timing. The time you called someone and it was, you know, there at the end of their rope. You knew God told you to call them. Save their lives. That's the Christ in you. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know, we represent the absent Christ. We do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our concern is the Christ in us shining forth, not wasting time trying to perfect the flesh. It's not, we shouldn't be concerned about what people think of us or how they look at us. God sees the Christ in you. He created a new creation in you. He made, formed a new creation in you, Christ in you. Let's go back to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12:1. Romans 13:14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We got to put on. Clean out our closets, put on the new. Verse chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your logical service, your reasonable service. Be not conformed or fashioned to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it's Christ in us. That new creation is Christ in us, the hope of glory. So let's enjoy what that vision that God has for us, that identity that he's made because of what his son has accomplished, and enjoy Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, and your scripture reading this week is Romans 12:2. So God bless you.